It seems like technologies and products are changing faster than we're able to keep track of them. And before you know it, IT pros are behind the eight ball, scrambling to understand and employ important new technologies or products that they've overlooked. And sometimes you just want to know how your data center stacks up against the industry overall. Earlier this year, searchdatacenter.com released its Data Center Decision Survey, designed to collect information about hardware and operating systems, virtualization in the cloud, facilities, and systems management. We've compiled the data, observed the trends, and released the results as a special report. It's our State of the Data Center 2011 report. I'm Stephen Bigelow, Senior Technology Editor with searchdatacenter.com, and I'm here with Bill Clayman, Virtualization Architect with MTM Technologies Incorporated, to talk about some aspects of the results and what it means for IT professionals. Bill, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
So, Bill, we're seeing everything from 1U, 2U, and Blade Systems packing in more computing power than ever. But how do you see data center owners and operators selecting and purchasing new servers today?
Well, the key important thing to remember here is that every environment is unique, and every environment is going to have its own specifications. So before an administrator can go out and make a purchase, they need to evaluate what their goals are for their data center. Are they rapidly expanding? Are they about to take on a massive amount of new users? Are they looking to virtualize their environment? Or are they pretty stable? Are they, let's say, maybe a somewhat stagnant manufacturing firm that isn't looking to upgrade too much or isn't looking to push too many machines out into their environment? So based on that, administrators and IT managers need to sit down and kind of look and evaluate what they want to go after. Spending money on Blade systems is not a bad thing. Spending money on 1 and 2U rack-mount servers is not a bad thing either. However, it's important to understand where that fits into your data center. So if an environment is looking to take on a, let's say, for example, a desktop virtualization project, a Blade environment might be great for them. However, if there's an environment that's more stable and isn't looking to expand as rapidly and really doesn't require that integrated sort of Blade chassis environment, pushing 1 and 2U environments is really not a bad thing. You're able to put a lot of users and have quite a bit of density as well as HA failover with a couple of 1U boxes, whereas the environment doesn't really need a Blade system. So the key thing here to remember is any administrator needs to sit down and plan out their environment before making a purchase. Either way can work. It all depends on how well it will work with the environment.
And Bill, our research tells us that integrated infrastructures are gaining ground slowly, but how do you see adoption out there? And more important, how are adopters using this technology?
Integrated infrastructures, it's a little bit of a buzz term, and everybody has their own say on it. For example, Cisco calls it the unified communication platform. And what they do is, and this kind of goes across the board as far as integrated infrastructures. Let's say you have an environment, and what you're doing here with this environment is that you're expanding your virtualization solution. And instead of buying a typical Blade chassis or a 1U or a 2U server, you're going in with this integrated infrastructure. What does that mean? That means you have a chassis. Inside of that chassis, you have some kind of a switching infrastructure. You have a Blade infrastructure, and you have a management infrastructure. From there, you kind of have your entire umbrella under one roof, your entire environment under one roof. And the management granularity inside of an integrated infrastructure is phenomenal. Let's use the Cisco UCS managers just as an example. You have 20 Cisco UCS Blade chassis. Now, all of a sudden, management of these chassis becomes an absolute nightmare. Well, what a lot of hardware manufacturers are doing is they're simplifying the process. Using one GUI, just a simple UCS manager, you're able to get in, see the health, state, and viability of every single one of your servers. You're able to clone hardware profiles, and the actual reporting is so granular that upon startup, you're able to see any error that's occurring on any server all the way down to the DIMM slot. And more easily granular control is where you can actually light up an LED lamp on one of those UCS chassis so you can find where the server is in your racks and how it's being utilized, and if there's something wrong with it, you can find it quicker. So as far as the adoption goes, you're going to see a lot of integrated infrastructures be deployed towards a virtualization and consolidation environment, where an environment or infrastructure wants to take numerous old computers and either V2V or P2V them and remove that physical footprint and really put it under this one well-structured roof. Both HP, Cisco, and a few other manufacturers are creating phenomenal solutions out there for IT administrators to leverage, and it really does simplify the data center. And that's the goal. It's to simplify the data center and get the biggest bang for your buck. Now, there's another element here. Blade chassis and integrated infrastructure are becoming affordable. It's no longer that sticker shock. It's no longer looking at, oh my gosh, I need to buy a Blade and I need to spend $100,000 on it. That's not the case. Cisco and HP, you can get a well-built-out infrastructure, and we're talking about an integrated infrastructure, which includes a some kind of a switching element inside of your chassis. 2-3 Blades, well-equipped, $40,000, sometimes less, sometimes a little bit more. You're plus or minus, but you're in that range. So all of a sudden, a medium-sized enterprise, which could not look at this kind of solution, now can take a step back and say, well, hang on a second. We can either buy one or two Blade servers, or we can invest in this chassis, have all these empty Blade slots, only utilize a couple of the spaces in there, and have room for growth. So with this affordability, you're going to see more users adopt integrated infrastructure and move towards Blades a little bit faster. So,
outstanding. And Bill, of course, we can't have this kind of a discussion without talking about virtualization. And we know that virtualization use is constantly expanding. And a large portion of our survey respondents are using virtualization for DR. How do you see users leveraging virtualization in their enterprises?
Surprisingly, in having some conversations, there are still some people who are just slightly, obviously it's not as much as it used to be, hesitant in adopting virtualization technology. Now, virtualization is becoming a little bit more broad than just taking a computer and making it a software component, making it virtual. We're now talking about desktops. We're now talking about application streaming. We're now talking about desktop streaming. We're now talking about hosted desktops. And, of course, we're talking about virtual server infrastructures, virtual gateway appliances. There's a lot of new aspects that fall into virtualization. What's happening now is that users see this as an advantage. End users see this as an advantage because you're getting better performance at the end user point. For example, you can just take a simple dumb client or just a terminal, put it out there, and you can stream entire desktops to it utilizing the hardware at the endpoint to maximize the streaming efficiency. Or you can host entire desktops at a centralized point and have users adopt what's called a BYOC, bring your own computer methodology, where they can literally come in with their own laptop, pop open, and able to connect to anything they want from the network via a hosted application or a hosted desktop infrastructure. What's happening is it's creating an easier, simpler, and a better managed environment. And that's what IT administrators are looking for. They're looking for a place they can go and, hey, okay, we've got everything under the roof here. We can manage everything here, and we can deploy everything from here. It's so much easier to have to deploy a single desktop image to 100 users rather than take a CD or use some kind of imaging software. Everything is managed from a central point, and that's kind of what virtualization gives to you. It's always going to be easier to spin up a new VM than to set up a new fresh piece of hardware. And it's always easier going to be to troubleshoot or back up a specific piece of virtual machining rather than it is to pick up and back up a physical box. Now, disaster recovery plays an even bigger role in all of this. What you're looking at here is the ability to take entire vDisks or provision servers or whatever else might be virtualized and stream it over a dedicated pipe or however disaster recovery is done within an organization. Everything is kind of relatively unique. But you can you can back up all of this information over the WAN without really having to invest in massive amounts of hardware. You can you have the ability to get rack space, for example, and go on a buy, use a VM as you go or pay as you go methodology where you don't have to pay for virtual machines that are just sitting there. DR can go from my entire infrastructure is down right now, so we need to launch these new virtual machines in this environment that's completely dormant, and all of a sudden all of our users are redirected to this new colo, and we're still up without having too much of an investment. So virtualization plays a big role in the ease of use of any environment and the viability of an environment and helping it move forward and continue growing.
And so, Bill, my next question, of course, crosses virtualization over into systems management. Our research tells us that the number of physical hosts and the number of virtual machines are both increasing. How do you see this in terms of VM sprawl and overall systems management? Is this really a problem in the making?
We've all heard of desktop sprawl. We've heard of server sprawl. And, of course, with the ease of virtualization, we're going to hear about virtualization sprawl or VM sprawl. It is a problem. Young administrators can get click-happy and press next 5 or 6 times, and all of a sudden, boom, you have a new virtual machine. And if this keeps happening and each engineer continues to do that, you're going to have 50, 60, however many virtual machines sitting either dormant, underutilized, overutilized, or improperly utilized on a server, taking up space and resources. The important thing here is to manage and always keep an eye and monitor your virtual infrastructure. Don't just deploy a desktop because you feel that it needs to sit in a pool. Managing your virtual infrastructure is just as important, if not more so important, than managing a physical environment. They're similar in a sense. So when you're looking at a virtual systems component, you need to understand that these VMs play a role. They have a function. They have a purpose in your environment. Having them just sit there is literally wasting money. It's throwing money in the air because these resources can be utilized somewhere else. Whether you're using VMware or Citrix's Xen server or Hyper-V, there's different management tools, especially within the GUI, to see how many VMs are spinning up and what's actually being utilized and how it's being utilized. There's a lot of other tools you can use. Everything from as simple as performance monitoring to using a tool called EdgeSight to see performance metrics, what's being used at the endpoints, and how it's being used in the data center. By collecting this information and understanding how your environment interacts with the end users as well as your other machines in the data center, you're able to make a better judgment and a better guess as to what should be running and what shouldn't be running. I've come into environments often where there is a physical host and there's 8 or 9 virtual machines on them. And I sit down with the administrator and I ask them, well, do you need these 3? They usually say, you know what, I actually don't know what those 3 do. And there's the first problem. That stuff's taken up storage on a SAN. That's taken up networking resources, and it's certainly taking up valuable computer hardware resources that can be distributed somewhere else. So always make sure you know what your VMs are doing, whether they're desktops, virtual machines, applications, or full-on virtual servers. Just having them on the machine because you think they need to be there isn't really a good excuse. So actual physical work is required to make sure that there isn't too much VM sprawl going on in your environment.
And Bill, of course, this brings us down to our last question today. We know that virtualization is putting a new emphasis on management, and we know from our research that the use of management tools is increasing dramatically. Where do you see management, systems management, falling short? How should system managers improve their use of management tools?
So the last part of your question, I think, is the most important element of this little conversation. It's how should managers improve the use of their management tools? A lot of times, these management tools are present. They're just not used well. So what managers need to do, and again, it's really specific on what kind of vendor you're using, but all of them will have their own sort of set of management tools, and you can always buy a third party, or, you know, in reality, use the ones that are already embedded. Make sure you monitor your infrastructure. Make sure you set up alerts. That's very important. If you need to have some kind of a workflow automation process that says, hey, you know what, we're getting pegged right now, so we need to spin up these VMs, do so, or set up utilization alerts. There's a lot of times when a physical host get overburdened and there aren't any alerts that are getting set up, and this machine continues to be overburdened. So that is an example of improper utilization of management tools. It's important to take the time to learn what a hypervisor or a virtualization platform offers. A lot of times engineers or consultants will go in, they'll do their best to explain the technology, but in-house administrators need to take the time and really learn what they have under their hands. It's a very powerful stuff. I mean, you're talking about enterprise-ready solutions. So obviously they're going to have some kind of a management tool there to prepare you for either virtual machine sprawl, excessive machine utilization, any kind of error monitoring, and having these at your fingertips can really, really reduce issues or problems that occur within the data center.
Well, Bill, that's fantastic, but that's all the time that we have for today. I want to thank Bill Clayman, virtualization architect with MTM Technologies Incorporated, for sharing his insights with us today. I'm Stephen Bigelow, and you can see all of our current research in our special report series, State of the Data Center 2011, at www.searchdatacenter.com.